And now we present your speaker, Trent Key.
Hebrews chapter 11, and our key text will be from verses 23 through 29. There's a story told of a particular house fire that had broken out one night. And within the house was residing a young man, probably around the age of 10 to 12 years old, and a father. They were home at the time, and this fire had broken out, and the father was able to escape to the outsides, to the grounds of safety, per se. And he was frantically looking for his son, and little did he know if his son was alive or if he was still trying to work his way out. But he had hope that it was going to happen, that he would be reach that ground of safety, the son that is. And the son works his way, is forced to flee to the very rooftop of that house. And as he's worked to the rooftop of that house, just as any of us would, being at any age, but especially the age he was scared. He was frightened because, you see, he saw the blackness around him. He saw the smoke and the flames that were just engulfing the house. He was very scared. And the father spots his son on the roof and says, "Son, jump! I will catch you." The son, as I said before, he was very scared. He yells out to his father, "Dad, I can't see you. Where are you?" The father yells out again, "Son, just jump. I will catch you." Tonight, I want to take this introduction or this illustration tonight and use it as our introduction into our topic that we will be discussing tonight. Tonight, we will look at the aspect of faithfulness to God and more particularly our faith that we have in God. And tonight, I want to begin by asking each and every one of us to ask ourselves the question, as we work throughout this lesson tonight, do I have a powerful faith? And tonight's lesson comes from Hebrews chapter 11, 23 through 29. And you might have already glanced over the text there to notice that Moses is the key individual in that passage. Moses is a very faithful individual. Now we do know from time to time that he was a human and that he didn't want to follow through with the things that God had commanded him to do. But overall, he lived a life of faithfulness before our God. And I want us to look at this key individual that's seen in throughout Exodus through Deuteronomy of leading the children of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage and overall what is said about him here tonight. There are four lessons that you and I can learn tonight as Christians that we can apply to our lives. And tonight I've entitled this lesson, "The Power of a Proper Faith." Brothers and sisters, Moses demonstrated the power of a proper faith. And as we go throughout, as I said before, ask yourself the question, do I have the power of a proper faith that's going to lead me to an eternity with God in heaven? The four lessons that we can learn from Moses' life here in Hebrews 11 is first that he refused the treasures of this world. We will notice then that he was able to leave his past behind him. Though the third point will be that he was able to keep the commandments of God. And last, he was able to know that there was a promised way of escape for him in the end because he had a powerful and proper faith. Let us look into the text tonight. Let's first read Hebrews chapter 11, 23 through 26. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." The first point I want us to notice tonight is that Moses, because of his faith, he was able to refuse the treasures of the world. And you might say, Trent, how do you pull that out of this passage? First, take a look at what it said in verse 24. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Why is that of any importance? Well, if you notice the verse before, he actually had blood parents represented there in verse 23. But look back in the Exodus account with me for a few moments. In Exodus chapter 1, you'll notice that Pharaoh had set in place that the sons that were going to be born were to be killed right after they were born. And the midwives were to do that. Well, they did not do that because they had a fear and they respected and understood who God was and His overall plan. And they did not do that and carry that out. So Pharaoh says, I want you to kill these children by sending them down the river. The Nile River, that is. And they followed through with that. But the thing I want us to notice is that whenever they refused to do these very things. And Moses' parents, his blood parents that were mentioned in verse 23, it says for 3 months they did not do this, what the king had commanded. They refused to do this. I don't know exactly why it is that they refused to do that, but the text tells us that he was a beautiful child. And I know that whenever I was a child, that whenever I had grown up, Amanda and I don't have children, so I can't speak from this from experience. But whenever I was a child, I can guarantee you that if you ask my parents, I probably grew up a little bit quicker than the other children around me. I was a big boy, and I know that after 3 months, I was probably unable to be hidden. Well, the same is probably true with Moses. His parents realized that they couldn't hide him any longer from the king's wrath, from what they were supposed to do in the very forefront of their minds. So they followed through with what was originally stated, and they made a basket and sent him down the Nile River. And we see that in Exodus chapter 2, that Pharaoh's daughter was bathing in the Nile at that time, and she comes across that basket. She comes across where Moses is, and not even questioning where the parents are or anything, but she knew it had come from one of those Hebrew wives or Hebrew women. She adopts him into her own household. That's why this is of importance, verse 24. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You see, because he had grown up in the Pharaohship, because he had grown up in the Pharaoh's house, there was so much prosperity. There was so much wealth. There was so much sin that was happening within that area that it was all at his fingertips. And you see, Moses didn't want to partake of those treasures. He didn't want to be remembered in that sense. Notice what he did choose, though. Look on in verse 25. It says, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You see, he knew that his real people weren't the Egyptians. He knew that they were under bondage, and he would rather go through what the pain and suffering that his own people were going through, he would much rather go through that than have the passing pleasures of sin. I think it's interesting that the text words it as that. That's simply all this life is. If we want to go out there and live it up, if we want to go out there and do what we want to do, it's the passing pleasures of sin that it is. And Moses realized that, and he didn't want anything to do with it. Why? Because he had a powerful faith. Notice again what is said about him in verse 26. Considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Considering the reproach of Christ. What is the reproach of Christ? The reproach of Christ is what he went through on the cross. It's the pain and suffering that he endured while on the cross. And you see, Moses saw that in the forefront of his mind. He knew that somebody else was going to go through this pain and suffering, and that he was going to endure it all for humanity. He had that in the forefront of his mind before Christ ever came into this world to live in the fleshly form. But it says, notice that last phrase in verse 26, for he was looking to the reward. Now in the Greek original language there, that word for looking is more of an attentive looking at. And the best way I know to illustrate this is if I pulled a shiny nickel out of my pocket and pulled a dollar bill out of my pocket and went up to one of the very, very small children of this in this auditorium tonight and gave them the choice of which one they wanted to, I can guarantee you they're going to look at that shiny nickel. They don't care about the value of that dollar bill. They're going to pay so much attention to the shininess of that nickel, that's all they're going to be focused on. That's the way this can be illustrated here. Moses was so intently wrapped around the reward that was awaiting him in the end. Because of his faith, he was able to do these things. tonight I want to bring out a few passages of application to you and I. Look over in the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, verses 19 through 21. Here are some things that are said about the earth and the treasures of this world. In verses 19 through 21, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where is your heart? Where is the faith in which lies tonight? In God. Is it in God or is it in the treasure of this world? Do we have the type of faith that Moses exemplifies here in Hebrews chapter 11? To overcome the things of this world. To overcome. I'm a man that likes cars. And I know that after this life, that's not going to be of any importance to me. That over time, cars rust. Over time, they get destroyed. As that passage said, rust will come upon these things. Moths will come in and eat the beauty of something that is so beautiful to us. Where does our faith lie tonight? Continue to ask yourselves that question. Let us notice the second point that Moses brings out here in verse 27. It says, "By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was unseen." The next point to be brought out is Moses left his past behind him. Everything Moses knew was in Egypt. He grew up there. His parents were there. Pharaoh was there. He had all that wealth and all that sin that was going on around him. That's where he grew up. A few years ago, whenever my dad went to the school of preaching and I had to move away from where I was, my sister and I didn't take that very well at first. That was where we knew everything was. It was where we trusted in everybody. We already knew a lot of things about that. And Moses, he grew up in Egypt. He had all that past there. And he was able to leave it behind him. The text points out in verse 27, "not fearing the wrath of the king." You see, Pharaoh could have done anything to him that he wanted to by leaving Egypt, by taking the children of Israel out of Egypt and leading them out of Egyptian bondage. He could have done anything he wanted to do to him. But Moses didn't keep that in the forethought of his mind. That was the last thing he thought about. He had a proper faith. He had a powerful faith to leave his past behind him. The last part of that verse, it says, "For he endured as seeing him who is unseen." Moses, as I had already pointed out before, was back in the Old Testament, way before Jesus Christ ever came into fleshly form. You and I are some 2,000 years after Jesus came in the fleshly form, and we are like Moses. We haven't seen Jesus Christ literally. We haven't seen Him in the flesh. But Moses, because of his faith, was able to endure for that reward, and he was able to endure as seeing him who was unseen. Some passages that bring this out in Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 talks about the invisible God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. The invisibleness is he did not see him at all. The best way to illustrate this is my sister and I would oftentimes play a game called hide and seek. The point was one of us would go hide while the other would try to find them. And the point whenever you were hiding was to be completely invisible per se, to where the other person cannot find you. The same is true in the text here. Moses hadn't seen Jesus Christ, but he endured with his faith. He pressed on as seeing him who is unseen. By our faith, do we have that in our lives? Something I wanted to bring out is that the guilt of our sin can hold us back from leaving our past behind us. And I understand that because I've been there in that situation where my sins of my past have been on my mind and I couldn't come over them, but because of the guilt that was there. but there's some passages that give us comfort. In Matthew chapter 6, if you look 25 and following, Jesus ultimately in the Sermon on the Mount there tells us that there's no need to worry about tomorrow. There's no need because verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you." You see, there's no need to worry about our past if we have properly asked for forgiveness, if we have properly followed the commandments that have been laying out for us throughout the Scriptures. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, we see that our sins are forgiven whenever we put Christ on in baptism. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You see, whenever we were baptized, our sins were washed away. There's no need to have that guilt there. Christ died. His blood was shed so that you and I could have that hope in heaven with Him. By our faith, can we leave our past behind us? Notice with me what verse 28 says. It says, "By faith, he," talking about Moses, "kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them." The next point to be brought out is that Moses was able to keep the commandments of God. If you look back in the Exodus account in Exodus chapter 12, verses 7 and 22, you'll notice the idea of the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. What was going on there was that the children of Israel were told, you need to shed the blood of a lamb and put that upon the doorpost of your door, so that whenever I pass by, you will not have to suffer the consequences. What were the consequences? They were going to lose the firstborn child that they had if they did not do that. Why did Moses do it? He had the faith to know that God was going to be faithful in the end. He had the faith to know that God was going to carry through with the punishment, or He was going to carry through with the reward of not going to take away that child. The end of that verse in verse 28 says, "So that the first he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them." That "might not touch them" isn't God just picking up those children and taking them to a separate place so that they can live their own separate life. That "might not touch them" is a physical destruction. It was complete obliteration, and God was going to be faithful in carrying these things out. Moses knew that God would do this. So therefore, he had the proper faith to keep the commandments of God and to do as He said. The last point is brought out in verse 29. It says, "By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned." This last point that we can notice is the type of faith that Moses had. He knew there was a way of escape for him. At some point in our lives, I'm sure that we've all had something unlawfully taken from us. Whether it be that whenever we were a small child, somebody took our toy and we wanted to go back and get that back. The same was true in this passage. The Egyptians had something, quote-unquote, unlawfully taken from them, or at least in their eyes, and Moses was the one that took it from them. He took the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and led them later on and through the wilderness. But they come to this Red Sea, and in the Exodus account and here in Hebrews, it shows that God parted the Red Sea, and these children of Israel and Moses were able to pass through that Red Sea all the way to the other side out of the harmful people, out of to the land of safety, per se. The last thing that we can notice here in this verse, notice what it says. It says, when they attempted it, talking about the Egyptians, they were drowned. There's two things that can be learned here in this passage by this last point. There is a way of escape. God gave His chosen people that way of escape in the end, to cross through to the Red Sea. But our enemies, the enemies that were after the children of Israel, after Moses, they weren't given a way of escape. They were given a way of destruction. They were given what was due to them. And they drowned there in the Red Sea because it collapsed on them. Tonight I want to end on this note. Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Paul writes to the church in Corinth and he says, No temptation has overtaken you, but such a one as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Tonight, do you have the proper faith that allows you to see the door of opportunity that God has given you for that way of escape? Sometimes sin presses at the door. Sometimes it seems like it's there right in front of our face and there's no way out at all. That's Satan's temptation. That's his way of grabbing us around the neck to tell us there's no way out of it this time. But this passage right here tells me that God gives a way of escape for every temptation that comes our way. Some of us might have to look harder from time to time for that way of escape, but it's there. Tonight, there might be somebody that is here that has not put Christ on in baptism, that has not decided to make Him reign and rule of your life. Tonight, if you would like to exemplify your faith and put Him on in baptism and grow with the congregation here at East End in your Christian walk so that you too can be given that promised way of escape in the end, we encourage you here in a few minutes whenever we sing this invitation song. But maybe it be that there is somebody here that has been a Christian for some time. Maybe it be that you've been a Christian for years and there's been a sin that has come into your life. God has given you this opportunity tonight to escape out of it. Do you have the proper faith to come forward and to put Christ on in baptism or to continue walking a faithful life with Him tonight? Tonight, if you have whatever need you have, we ask that you come together as we stand and sing.